Washington worries about the fate of Taliban insurgents, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg takes the blame for slow snow removal, the country's last Kodachrome film processor prepares to shut down, and is Mecca turning into Disneyland? I'm Jane Bornemeyer, filling in for the vacationing James Barron. I'll have a preview of the front page of Thursday's New York Times after this brief message. The Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Ford and by voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And now for Thursday's front page. From Washington comes this report. The Obama administration is expressing growing alarm over reports that thousands of political activists and captured Taliban insurgents have disappeared into the hands of Pakistan's police and security forces. Some, Washington fears, may have been tortured or killed in captivity. Human rights groups say that Pakistan's security services have rounded up thousands of civilians over the past decade and that they're holding them incommunicado without charges. The Times' Eric Schmidt has more.
This involves not just some of the Taliban insurgents, but actually another insurgency that most Americans don't know about in Pakistan, one in Balochistan, which is this vast part of southwest Pakistan where there's been a separatist group fighting Pakistani forces for, you know, generations.
Some American officials believe the Pakistanis have used the pretext of war to imprison their political opponents. The issue threatens to become the latest flashpoint in the often tense relationship between the wartime allies. In New York, Mayor Michael Bloomberg accepted responsibility Wednesday for the city's slow response to a crippling snowstorm. He pledged to have every street plowed by Thursday morning and then to figure out why his administration's cleanup efforts were inadequate. Mr. Bloomberg said he was extremely dissatisfied with the performance of the city's emergency management system. He said the response was a lot worse than after other recent snowstorms and was not as efficient as the city has a right to expect. But he defended his commissioners, including the head of the sanitation department, and he spread some of the blame for the city's problems to its citizens. He said they had failed to heed requests that they not call for help unless they faced true emergencies. Those unnecessary calls, the mayor said, overwhelmed the emergency communications system. He said city residents also compounded the problem by trying to drive in the storm, only to have their cars stuck in the path of plows. Just south of the Grand Mosque in the Muslim holy site of Mecca, a Mideastern version of London's Big Ben is nearing completion. It's called the Royal Mecca Clock Tower, and it will be one of the tallest buildings in the world. Eventually, it will house a gargantuan shopping mall, an 800-room hotel, and a prayer hall for several thousand people. The tower is just one of many construction projects in the very center of Mecca that are reshaping its historic core in ways that many people find appalling. The transformation has sparked unusually heated criticism of the authoritarian Saudi government. Saudi officials say that the construction boom is necessary to accommodate the ever-growing numbers of people who make the pilgrimage to Mecca during the yearly Hajj. It's a figure that has reached nearly 3 million people now, but many Muslims believe the real motivation is money, the desire to profit from some of the most valuable real estate in the world. I'll have more from Thursday's Front Page in just a moment. This episode of the Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that features hands-free calling. Sync connects to most Bluetooth-enabled phones and then listens to the sound of your voice. So just say the name of the person you want to call and Sync dials their number. With Sync, you'll never miss a call and you can keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. Sync is subscription-free and it's available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And now to Africa. On a continent where coups and stolen elections are far from uncommon, one thing makes the standoff over the Ivory Coast singular. All the major powers in Africa and overseas say Laurent Gbagbo, the strongman leader, must go. It was 3 weeks ago that Mr. Gbagbo lost a long-delayed presidential election. Since then, the United Nations, the European Union, United States, the African Union, and the West African Regional Group have all declared that he must step down. They've agreed to slap an array of sanctions on his regime until he does so. West African nations say they are even prepared to use military force to oust him from the presidential compound if he refuses to leave voluntarily. And that has made the Ivory Coast a global test of how, and maybe whether, the international community can impose its will on an African leader who still has solid support in his own military. And finally, the 75-year life of Kodachrome is scheduled to come to an end when the last processing machine is shut down on Thursday in Parsons, Kansas. That machine is at Duane's Photo, a small family business that has, through luck, persistence, and the miracle of the modern postal system, become the last processor in the world of Kodachrome. Kodachrome, of course, was the first and still the most beloved of commercial color films. In the last weeks, hundreds of visitors and thousands of overnight packages have raced there, transforming the small prairie-bound city not far from the Oklahoma border into the epicenter of nostalgia. Many long for the days when photographs appeared not in the cold, sterile frame of a computer screen or a pack of flimsy prints from the local drugstore, but in the warm glow of a projector pulling an image from a carousel of vivid slides. At the peak of its popularity, about 25 labs worldwide processed Kodachrome, but the last Kodak-run facility in the United States closed 5 years ago, then the one in Japan, and then the one in Switzerland. For the last 3 years, all that was left has been Duane's Photos. Last year, Kodak stopped producing the chemicals needed to develop the film, providing the business with enough to continue processing through the end of 2010. And that's a preview of the front page of Thursday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.